So Andrew, we got Craig on the line. What do you want to ask him?
What was that jumping off point from kind of going solo to partnering with other investors and getting into the syndication side?
Yeah, great question. It was exciting to start acquiring your properties. I really loved the hunt aspect of finding a property, closing on the deal, fixing it up, and seeing your whole vision come to reality.
This is the Diary of an Apartment Investor podcast, and I'm your host, Brian Briscoe. Now, this podcast is designed for the aspiring apartment investor and literally gives them the opportunity to ask the questions that will help them get to the next level. So if you're an aspiring apartment investor, this podcast is for you. Now, this podcast is brought to you by the Tribe of Titans Multifamily Educational Community. It's your one-stop shop for learning how to succeed at apartment investing. Welcome to the Diary of an Apartment Investor podcast. I'm your host, Brian Briscoe. Really excited for today's show. It's another Ask the Expert episode with two great people on the line with us today. We've got Craig Stevens and Andrew Long. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show.
No, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Brian.
Absolutely. So, Craig, you're going to be up to bat first. So, as our experienced investor today, welcome and hope you're doing well.
Excellent. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. I'll give a quick background on myself. The background story is that I worked in corporate America, like many folks, for about 25 years. 10 years ago, while I was working in corporate America, I was head of finance and accounting, CPA, you know, leading large finance teams and working a ton of hours. So 10 years ago, sitting at my desk one day, I was just kind of thinking that there was something else that had to go beyond what I was doing at that moment, that I didn't want to necessarily retire in that role. It was a good learning experience, a lot of opportunity within my role at that time as well. But I was growing a little bit weary and tired of it and tired of the traveling and all the corporate meetings and things that go along with that. So I started looking more into real estate investing. That's always been something that's interested me. And started buying up properties for myself and under my own portfolio. So I, you know, each year I would go out and just buy a couple of small multifamily properties, three, four family buildings in the New York area.
Nice.
And I started to scale up my portfolio while I was working my full-time job.
Did you start with smaller multifamily or did you start with single family?
I started with multifamily. So three to four family buildings. And my largest one that I acquired was a nine-unit building. So
Awesome. Typically, you know, people start with the single families and gradually get into those. You just jumped right into like a three family and kind of went up from there.
Yeah. After educating myself, I realized that getting the scale that I wanted wasn't going to happen as quickly with that single family home aspect. So I started to try to look for larger deals. And that's kind of how I started building up to about nine buildings at one point.
Okay. Nice. Nice. Now, was there a specific trigger in your life that made you do that? I mean, you talked in very general terms, but was there something more specific that was like, I got to go buy some of these things?
Yeah, I really did want to exit. So I kind of came up with a plan, a strategy to be able to exit my day job. And I was doing quite well in corporate America, you know, becoming a senior leader in the finance roles. But I found it to be challenging from, really owning my own lifestyle, my own dreams, the places that I wanted to go. I was a bit more ambitious than just kind of following others' rules, right? And working under somebody else's protocols. The other aspect was I knew that I would have a hard time growing the wealth that I was looking for just by doing that alone, just for my W-2. So I wanted to also grow my wealth through real estate and started understanding that that was the best way to expand your wealth more quickly.
Yeah. And I mean, it's similar to what I did, you know, same thing. It's like, okay, how do you expand your wealth? And it's, you know, lots of different ways to say it. You know, you make your pennies work while you're sleeping or whatever, but real estate's a really good way. So
absolutely.
I wouldn't be doing this podcast for as long as I have. I didn't think that, but
agreed.
Well, cool. So what were some of the challenges you had, you know, getting into real estate by yourself? And then going from, you know, owning it by yourself to going into, you know, partnerships.
Yeah. When I was starting out, I was doing as much education for myself as possible. So I was just consuming a lot of podcasts and books as most people do and should, right? So that they're going into it with full knowledge. I think probably the first challenge was really just taking action, right? So kind of not overstudying. I'm an accountant. Yeah. I'm very analytical and I like to learn as much as possible and maybe overlearn at times without just moving forward. So I think that was my first learning experience was to just start moving. Then once you buy your first transaction and enter into your first transaction, they start to come more easily. You get more comfortable with it, just like anything else. The other aspect I learned was get a team together to help you because you can't do it all. I started with my first family, multifamily building. It was a four family building. I thought I could do it all myself, or at least I wanted to learn to do it all myself. And I was out there, you know, fixing patio stones and working on painting some of the rooms and managing leases and discussions with tenants, and quickly realized if I wanted to scale, I needed to get a good property manager to support.
Yeah. Yeah. There's only so much you can do all by yourself. And I did something similar. I did a lot of work on the homes that, I mean, it was only single family, all the single family homes that I owned. And, you know, what I learned through doing it is I wasn't very good at it and it took me a long, long time, you know? So, but yeah, that's a big, big learning point there. Well, let's talk about one of those deals. Is there one you want to highlight for us?
Yeah. One of the biggest deals for me was the 9-unit building that I acquired, which was in Indiana. So in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I found an opportunity to acquire this quite large building. It was off market. It wasn't listed yet. The broker had been in touch with me before on a previous deal. And the great thing about it was that it was occupied by six tenants that were part of a charity organization. So they were being supported by a charity organization for people that had previous drug issues, but were on the rehabilitation. Yeah. So it was funded fully by the government. So their rents, their utilities, everything was guaranteed month by month. So it was really the government-funded charity that was paying the rents, regardless of whether there was somebody in there or not. So I thought right away, you know, consistent income, no vacancies, this was going to be fantastic. And the ability to work with them and increase rents over time as well. They had that capacity. So that was probably the largest deal that I acquired. Mm-hmm. It turned out that I didn't have the right property manager in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Issues broke down with the charity and they pulled all of the tenants out. Ooh. So at lease renewal, all six tenants were gone in one day. Mm-hmm. So now I'm sitting there with a 9-unit building with six vacant units out of nine. And that was painful. And just to learn that the importance of a good property manager.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How'd you overcome that? I mean, was it a long road in there, or what measures did you put in place?
These number one was to get rid of the property manager and find a new one that could manage this well for me. And I did find that and was able to move that. The other thing was each of these units probably required some decent renovations. They had been housing tenants that were probably less picky about the standards of living, right? Yep. So some of the things had gone, you know, when I had acquired it and needed to be kind of repaired and improved. So we did a lot of renovations and improvements of the property over the years before we were able to get them tenanted up to good market tenants. Mm-hmm. And then I also started to realize that it was becoming challenging working my full-time job and managing real estate, even though I had good property managers. So I started to get into the world of syndications and deciding to be a limited partner investor in syndications. Mm-hmm. That was the transaction that turned my tides, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Lots of people have a property like that and they're just like, okay, you know, either I'm going to start being an LP only, or I need a team, or there's always kind of like that watershed property. It's like, I got to do something different. So
exactly.
Well, cool. Well, one question I love asking everybody is about motivation and why you're doing what you're doing. So what's your big burning why?
So at first, my why was to be able to get to that point where I was ready to leave my day job and kind of have a legacy business for my children as well. But as I'm moving along and working with investors on my transactions now, I'm realizing that really my goal in life is to help other people to grow their wealth. So if I can help people, anyone, to grow their wealth and their net worth by just even a little bit, then I've done my job and kind of what I want to accomplish in life. Secondarily, I'll make money if they make money, right? If they're able to grow their wealth, I'm not worried about me making money. I really want to help others. I grew up in a bit of a low income family situation my whole life. And I want to try to help people to kind of grow their wealth to fill their dreams.
Yeah. You know, and it's the, you know, golden rule, karma, whatever it is. I mean, Zig Ziglar said, like, if you help enough other people get what they want, you're going to get, have everything you want, you know? So, you know, I love it when we can get the win-win scenarios. You know, we help, I mean, we're helping investors, we're helping tenants, we're helping ourselves, you know, but
absolutely.
I think you maximize it when you're doing all three. So, well, cool. So last question, what's next for you?
I've started to raise capital for transactions. So last year I lived my dream and I was able to quit my day job. So last June, I quit my day job full-time on real estate now. And I was realizing that instead of leading a syndication, growing a little bit weary of running a transaction myself, I determined that my best fit would be to raise capital for transactions. So now I've gotten to the point a year later that I've been doing that quite successfully. Over the last 12 months, I've raised $7 million on five transactions in total. And I'm starting to get to that point where I'm wanting to kind of educate others on how to raise capital as well, if that interests them. So, you know, folks can reach out to me and I'd love to help you kind of learn more about the capital raising side of a syndication, right? Yeah. Even if you're a syndicator, that's a whole nother beast from finding the transaction.
Yeah, it is. And it takes a different personality. And maybe I jumped the gun a little bit saying last question. You know, what do you think the significant advantages are of, you know, coming in primarily as a capital raiser? I know SEC, you know, you're not totally a capital raiser, but primarily a capital raiser.
Yeah, you're still considered part of the general partnership team. So you get to participate and learn a lot about syndications as you go along because you're participating in co-GP calls. I do like the aspect that your primary involvement is just in the beginning stages of raising the capital. So you can find transactions, you get to filter through multiple transactions of great syndicators, pick the ones you like, raise capital for them. Then you're done in 45 to 60 days and you can move on to the next transaction and do it all over again. So long run, it's probably not as, you know, for one transaction, you're not going to make as much money as you would on one syndication, right? If you're the lead GP. But if you can do multiple transactions a year or large raises, you can become quite profitable doing just the capital raising piece. And you don't have to manage the property yourself, right? You have another team of people that are doing most of that work.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. There's definitely a trade-off. You're getting a smaller portion of the general partnership. You obviously retain some responsibility into the deal, but you can do more per year. You know, I mean, there's less time between deals. So, you know, if you're a lead syndicator, your capacity to close deals, you know, maybe three or four a year, if you're really good at capital raising, you know, you can do, you know, one a month sometimes. So,
And sometimes a couple at the same time as well.
Yeah. I'm not that good yet, but maybe eventually. That's the goal. So, well, cool. All right. Now we're going to shift gears and bring Andrew on. Andrew, how's it going, man?
Great. How are you doing, Brian?
Doing really well. Well, do us a favor. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, a little bit about my background. I'm based in Des Moines, Iowa. I always like to say I've been full-time in real estate for probably the past 10 years, but that looks probably different than other people who are saying that because my injection into real estate came through some, my wife had inherited some farm ground. We wanted to build on it. We ended up selling that. And then there was some cash to do something with. So I'm like, hey, maybe we shouldn't put everything in the stock market. Called a friend of mine who's a financial advisor. He says, hey, have you thought about investing in real estate? And that was kind of the jumping off point of investing in some single family property. So started an LLC, invested in three out of the gate. And then 6 months later, that same friend and I helped a builder start a construction company called Crown Homes, which still had remained in ownership of that. So real estate, construction, all those kind of seem to go hand in hand. Within that first year, I got my real estate license. So I'm a practicing agent as well, which kind of helps with the construction side. And then it also helps me with the investing side. So primarily I've invested in single family properties over the last several years. At one point with another partner, we got up to nine doors on five properties. All single family. 2019, he said, hey, I'm going to go be a missionary in Lima, Peru. So we worked through exit strategy and is what it was. But so I ended up with one property. I ended up with one that had five doors on it, split. And then And I've just managed that. And I've realized over the last several years, I don't love being a property manager or a landlord. And so I've kind of put my investing stuff on hold. Mm-hmm. And whenever I kind of thought about like multifamily or apartment deals and things like that, it's like, oh, those are too big for me. I don't have the money to pay for that. You know, if I did, I would have to earn so much money in construction, save up, then put it down, big down payment, go to the banks. I always like to say, get a good financial colonoscopy when you do that. And so it's challenging. So I didn't really see that as a fit for me. So really for the last 3 years, I've kind of just sat in the background. I met a gentleman through my construction background and I transitioned my Crown Homes to an Allaire Homes office. And he was also a partner in Allaire in South Carolina. His name's Jennings Smith. And so I had a connection with him prior to him going full-time in multifamily. And he started a Facebook group that I just kind of passively followed along for the last couple of years. Well, through construction, a development opportunity came up where they needed to raise some capital. And I'm like, hey, I know some people. Maybe I should say, hey, are you guys interested in this deal? And it was for the same buddy that got me into real estate 10 years prior.
Yeah.
So kind of small world, things come back together. And so I reached out to Jennings. I said, hey, do you know anybody that'd be interested in this? And I was just trying to make a connection. I had no clue how any of this stuff worked. And so that led to a phone call conversation. Hey, put it in the deal room. He explained to me what that was. It's just a group of investors that do a mastermind.
Yep.
And so for the last 3 months, I've really just been getting in there, learning stuff about multifamily, networking with other investors, and then starting to get into, you know, finding deals, analyzing them, and, you know, trying to put some things together. One of those happens to be that apartment project that's 237 units that'll be student housing for a medical campus. I don't know if that will come to fruition, but we're working on it and it seems to be gaining a little bit of momentum. So that's kind of a big project out of the gate. It's probably not one that most people would take off. Because of my construction background, there's just certain aspects of it that make sense to me that I bring certain things to the table. But that's kind of in a nutshell my background, how I got started and kind of where I'm at. And so just really as an inspiring investor, jumping in and learning a lot of stuff on the multifamily side.
Yeah. And it's nice to have somebody like Jennings to, you know, help you out because he's done quite a few himself. So, well, cool. So same question I asked to Craig a little bit ago, you know, what's your why?
Yeah. You know, it's a question I always have to kind of contemplate because it's not, you know, obviously people want to get in and they want to make money. That maybe becomes the key that helps unlock things that you want to do. Maybe it's time freedom, you know, those types of things. Because I have a real estate construction company that I own and operate, I'd like to be able to get out of the operator seat. Mm-hmm. So if I'm able to establish some cash flow where I can pull out of that, let some other people help manage and run, and then I help oversee more of an entrepreneurial spirit, that would put me in a spot just with the businesses that I have and my bandwidth to be able to manage multiple things and then have that time and freedom that I can spend time with my family and invest in my volunteer work with the church that I participate in locally, not only for my time, but also my finances. And so those are their kingdom-minded focuses, and that's kind of my why. Yeah. So
awesome. Awesome. Hey, thanks for sharing that. Very much appreciate it. Maybe you'll end up in Lima with your former partner, but
I'm sure I will eventually. Yeah. It puts me into getting down. So
beautiful city, by the way. I've been there several times, but anyway, we're at the favorite point of the show where I get to sit back for a lot of it and listen. So Andrew, we got Craig on the line. What do you want to ask him?
Yeah. Hey, Craig. It's great. Great meeting you. And I know you might have kind of addressed this a little bit already, but you had talked about going and investing in your personal portfolio, which you got up to about $6 million. You kind of mentioned the 9-unit was kind of the last one before you maybe kind of jumped into partnering with. So maybe that's part of it. But what was that jumping off point from kind of going solo to partnering with other investors and getting into the syndication side?
Yeah, great question. It was exciting to start acquiring your properties. I really loved the hunt aspect of finding a property, closing on the deal, fixing it up, and seeing your whole vision come to reality, right? As you improve the property and increase rents and the income is coming in as you expected. But then you're holding it, right? After you did all that magical stuff and all of a sudden rents have increased, then you hold it and you just collect rents and it appreciates, right? And that's great stuff too. But that's the hard part that people don't talk about, and maybe the less sexy part of it, And as I started to build up my portfolio, I had a lot more of those properties in that less sexy stage of, of the homes, and was really at a capacity point where I couldn't just keep adding properties using my own money. So I started learning more about syndications, growing tired of owning my portfolio, managing my own portfolio. I started understanding that, hey, let me start investing more in these syndications as a limited partner, get some of the same benefits and returns as if I owned them myself at a much larger scale, and somebody else manages it for me. Sounded absolutely amazing. And with the vision that I could learn and maybe do it myself.
Yeah, that's great. And kind of piggybacking off of that a little bit, as you start, you know, getting into deals and you're partnering, whether you're an LP or a GP, one of the things that I'm starting to learn recently was how important it is to make sure you, you know, work with the right partners, people. There's maybe some evaluation to that, you know, what kind of, you know, process, or how do you go about, as you're looking into a deal, how do you go about evaluating the other partners and making sure that's a good fit for you and kind of where you want to go with your investing portfolio?
Brian, I don't know if you wanted to start on that one.
I can jump into that one. That's easy. So I think the biggest thing is alignment. You know, you got to make sure that you guys are aligned on many different levels. You know, on the business plan, first of all, you have to agree to the business plan. And in some ways, you have to have the same kind of investment philosophies. Okay. So, you know, we sold a couple of properties in the last, 12 months, and the vote on those was 3-1. And it sucks to be the guy on the one side, right? But anyway, I think long-term alignment and your core values, you know, things that are most important to you have to match up. You know, and more than anything else, I think that's the most important thing, is what you guys value, your alignment, which direction you're going. So if you're marching in the same direction, you know, you're going to end up at the same spot. You know, if you're slightly off, or, 180 off, you're just going to get further and further away from each other. So I would say, you know, look at your partners, look at alignment, look at core values before anything else, before you start matching skill sets and anything else, look for those core values.
I think that's a great answer. I love that point of alignment. Mm-hmm. It's really, real estate is a long game, and you're going to be spending a lot of time with these partners for quite a few number of years if you do this the right way, right? So alignment's important. The other thing is to make sure that you're getting partners that aren't duplicating your own experiences, that can add something differently to the whole pie, right? That maybe you don't have you're not as strong in, right? So trying to find those partners that are kind of a good offset to maybe some of your weaker areas, and maybe they have strengths in those areas as well. I think that's something helpful.
Really good point.
Yeah. And I was kind of wondering too, if there was like any, you know, sometimes people do like background searches on other people just to make sure they're like, hey, these guys aren't, or gals aren't deep in the weeds, in lawsuits or things like that. So I didn't know if there was some kind of systems or things that people have used to kind of vet that out as they're kind of getting into initial conversations on the front end, outside of kind of gut feeling like, hey, is it a fit and match? Do we have a lot of values?
I would say doing the background checks is a good idea to do. You know, I mean, you don't want to be surprised later, and it's 30 or 40 bucks to do it. And, there's lots of places that will do background checks. I mean, most of the credit agencies also do, criminal background checks as well. They'll do both at the same time. So I think it's a good idea, maybe not lead with that, but once you're getting to the point to where you think it's going to work out, ask them if you can do a background check. And I mean, obviously, if you're working with them, they're working with you, you got to be willing to, have them do the same on you.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
I use a free service. Me raising capital for transactions, making sure that I'm bringing my investors' money to the right deal. I perform background checks on all the individuals that are involved, all the general partners. Mm-hmm. And there are free services out there. So if you're just doing a one-off, you can do kind of a trial subscription on a lot of these online ones.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
I use one called Truth Finder, but there's 100 other ones out there as well that will do, just based on name, age, you can search all the information on folks.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate you guys sharing that. So, the podcast is geared towards apartment investing, but I also kind of like to, ask people kind of what their other experiences are with other assets within commercial that maybe you've had good results with as well outside of apartments, and if you've done any deals outside of just apartments.
I raised money for, I'm always interested in other asset classes within real estate and then other investment opportunities as well, even outside of real estate. So I'm always kind of curious about venture capital investing and crypto investing and, you know, you name it, it interests me. Mm-hmm. But with within the real estate space, as you start growing your portfolio in multifamily, I do think it's important to diversify amongst asset classes within real estate.
Yeah.
So I've invested in retail centers, like kind of larger shopping mall experiences, right? Of not strip malls, I should say, right? Where you have kind of the local hairstylist and, you know, a large restaurant and things like that in there and a good anchor tenant. I've done a few of those investments. And then also I recently raised money for a storage facility in North Carolina. And I think that that was really great timing from a, you know, potential recession coming up, a nice way to offset maybe some of the risks that might exist in our multifamily portfolios.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I'd add to that. I mean, one of the benefits we talked about, the difference between, you know, coming in, raising capital versus, you know, being the deal sponsor. One of the benefits of being somebody who raises a lot of capital is it is a lot easier to pivot and put money into other deals because you're relying on the expertise of the other operators, you know. So you can find a really good multifamily operator, invest with them, and then, you know, hey, maybe I want to do this next, you know, find a really good self-storage operator or triple net or, you know, whatever suits your fancy. And it is a little easier to pivot. You know, I've, as an operator, you know, right now I'm only doing multifamily. Every time I think about doing something else, I try to remind myself of how long it took me to become really good at multifamily, you know, and, you know, to do what I do in another space, you know, it'd probably take me, you know, 6 months to a year. Of course, I could if I did, I'd probably partner with somebody who was good at it. But yeah, long story short, I've only done multifamily as a GP. My LP dollars have gone other places.
That's good. Well, hey, Craig, what would you say, you know, as an aspiring investor, aspiring investors like myself, what would you say are the top three activities an aspiring investor should do on a daily or a weekly basis to gain momentum?
One of the things is taking action. So I kind of mentioned in the beginning, right, that I didn't take action soon enough. I overstudied and overeducated myself. So, you know, the biggest impediment to action is inaction, right? So making sure that you're moving forward, even if it's one little thing each day, right, to move towards your goals, just start moving in that direction, make an offer, start making offers. If it gets accepted and now all of a sudden you change your mind, you can still get out of them, you know, early on, but just like get that experience of getting offers out there and also start getting known now. So making sure that everybody around you, your community, your social media, everybody knows what you're doing, because that's going to become important later on when you finally find some large deals, you're getting known within the real estate industry. You need to make sure that you have investors that are interested in watching what you're doing, right? Even if you're not looking for them yet. So I like to say that, you know, you should be out there now advertising what your plans are, what you're doing on social media, when you meet with friends, when you talk to people, let them all know what you're doing. Yeah. Start to create some excitement and energy around it, because you will need that network. If not now, you will need it later on.
Yeah. Great tips. And I'm going to double down on the first thing you said is just taking action. You know, I did a lot of, similar to what Craig said, you know, I did a lot of podcast listening. I did a lot of, you know, reading books and blog articles and, you know, jumping in forums and whatnot. And, you know, end of the day, I got to the point to where I remember I was listening to a podcast and it was the same story I'd heard like 100 times before, you know, and I realized that I wasn't ever going to learn a single thing more from podcasts, you know, or maybe I would, but I mean, that's kind of like the mentality I had. And that was really kind of like the trigger moment for me where it's like, okay, I need to start underwriting. I need to start, you know, putting in offers. I needed to call brokers. I need to start talking with investors. But, you know, once I took the action and started taking action, things started to snowball very quickly.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I have another question here. I'm kind of like Craig and probably you, Brian, a bit. I'm a high fact finder on the Kolbe score. So I tend to like to learn everything up front, then go do. So being encouraged to go just take action has been good for me. I've been encouraging some of my other groups to do that as well. But kind of along those process or along that, you know, area, I get to thinking about like the whole process, and is there any kind of like systems or processes that you would recommend for like perspective investors, like, you know, inspiring investors, like as they start to communicate and take down deals, like I've kind of seen some things where people send out weekly reports, and I'm sure there's ways to like streamline that kind of content. So I'm just kind of curious what kind of system processes would be maybe considering or looking into as a, as an inspiring investor, as you start setting things up.
I would think that one of the important things to invest in is a CRM tool that you can create some automation and start to send out emails and maybe texts and things like that to individuals, but also start to get people, get your group of your followers, right? You're going to start to have followers, get them engaged and sending out kind of routine newsletters and things like that. You can use something as simple as like a Constant Contact or MailChimp, but I do think that it's well worth the investment to invest in a larger kind of CRM package that's maybe a bit more geared towards real estate. We're currently using ActiveCampaign. I've tried about a million different ones and we've landed on that one. I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're also in ActiveCampaign, and similar to what Craig said, I've told people, you know, probably dozens of times, you know, pick the CRM that you're going to need in the future and not the CRM you need right now. Right. There are some free ones or very inexpensive ones. I mean, I think ActiveCampaign is one of them that does not have a free version, but you know, their lowest plan is like $10 a month or something like that. So yes, CRMs are very important for communication. And then, you know, when you start getting deals, you know, one of the interfaces you're going to use with your investors is typically an investor portal. You know, most syndicators will get an investor portal. There's several to choose from, you know, the cash flow portal, InvestNext, you know, Groundbreaker, Juniper Square, you know, bunch of them. And, you know, for a fee, it can, you know, when investors, you know, want to, you know, put their soft commits, they can put it all there. They can have a dashboard with all their investments with you and everything else. I think that tends to be one that, you know, most people get up front, and it saves a lot of effort, especially in like signing documents and, you know, getting wire instructions out and everything else. But I have yet to find an investor portal that has a robust enough CRM capability to be able to wrap both into one product. So, yeah.
So,
all right. We have time for one more. If you got one more, we've been doing really well with time.
Yeah, I didn't have any others in my mind. I was kind of got through the ones I had, but if you have any others, Brian, that maybe piggyback off of those, feel free to shoot.
If I could add one thing to the systems question again as well, if you're acquiring just kind of your own portfolio and you're not doing these syndications yet, right? You might have just be investing in kind of single family homes, multifamily homes. Good property management software as well is key. So even if you have a property manager, you're probably going to need a property management software system. I used a property manager that would work with my system. Mm-hmm. It has the accounting capabilities, the finance capabilities, collecting rent abilities, right? And that really helps to control and contain your properties. Mm-hmm. And just like Brian said, invest in the property management software that you're going to need in the future, not just because you have one, right? Don't use Excel. Start with something strong.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you know, most people start with Excel, you know, for a lot of what they do. I started with Excel, and I think that I was listening to a podcast episode yesterday, and they were talking about one of the major companies where they used Excel it was actually Airbnb, but the founder of Airbnb, they used Excel for like, you know, until they were almost at the breaking point, and then they started systemizing things. But you know, I mean, different philosophies. I still stand by the, you know, get into the program that you're going to want, you know, a year, 2 years or 5 years from now. A lot of people will also use certain, you know, productivities or project management software as well. You know, Basecamp, there's several of them, Trello, Monday.com, but there's several of those as well. You know, especially if you're, you know, on the acquisition side, you know, when you're underwriting several properties at once, it's something that can keep, keep the flow on each one where it's supposed to be. Like, okay, we've had LOIs out on these properties. I mean, as you get more and more people on your team and more committed, you know, LOIs out on these properties, these are the ones we have in our contract. You know, these are the ones that we're underwriting. And you can kind of set everything up and have this dashboard that everybody can look in and just immediately see what the status of each one is. You know, like I said, most people start out doing that on an Excel spreadsheet, but most people end up graduating to something a little more robust. And I'm going to make the same comment about these. You know, most of those will have some rudimentary CRM built in, but I still haven't found one that, you know, is like everything in one. I mean, maybe that's what I should create next, is an everything in one platform. Absolutely. Yeah. CRM that's, you know, as robust as ActiveCampaign, with an investor portal that's as robust as any of them that are out there, with you know, the workflows, like the project management tools. But
I'll be the first investor, Brian, if you
can. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
If you were technology savvy and wanted to start up a technology, you know, opportunity, there you go. There's put those two together and we got something.
Hard to be great at everything though, right? Yeah. So that's kind of why we all need to, you know, partner up with folks and partner up with systems.
Maybe I'll just go on ChatGPT and say, hey, ChatGPT, write the code for a really awesome software program that does all of this, and just
it's done.
Yeah.
Watch it go. So I don't think it's there yet.
I did think of another question I thought would be a good one. Greg, as you know, continue to invest and get into deals, and what are maybe some of the top things that you're doing to continue to learn and grow in the space?
I'm always educating myself, right? So I listen to podcasts and read up on everything that I can. I'm really interested in learning more about different asset classes, as we talked about. So I've entertained things that I never thought I'd entertain. Mm-hmm. I invested recently in a car wash deal myself personally.
Nice. Yeah.
I've been looking at development deals, like ground up development deals or conversions, hotel conversions to apartment complexes. So that's kind of my next step, is to find that other niche that I might be interested in investing in and raising capital for, and learning a lot about it, right? I don't want to just kind of go all over the place, but really try to refine my skills and learn about different asset classes.
Yeah. Yeah. Coaching has been big for me, you know, so, and it's not always multifamily coaching, you know, so I started in a multifamily coaching program, and that really, really helped. I set up a coaching program of my own, and I went and I got a coach for that, you know, somebody to help me, you know, figure out how to design it, how to set it up, how to market it and whatnot. And right now I'm doing like a business coaching plan. You know, I know the multifamily game pretty well, but you know, I don't know business. You know, I spent 20 years, you know, doing Marine Corps stuff. And that's, you know, so that's kind of one of my weak points. But typically, you know, I'm working on, I've got a coach in some area of my life that I'm working with to become better, just because I think that accelerates a lot of things. So anyway, that's kind of my newfound thing, is find a coach who can help you get to where you want to go a lot faster, or, you know, in some other ways. I mean, you might want to just find somebody who can do stuff for you. But for me, it's coaching.
Yeah, it's great.
So, yeah. All right. Well, cool. I think we are about out of time now. So last question, and same one for both of you. Craig, you get to go first. How can investors learn more about you?
Please reach out to me at craig@groundbreakingre.com. Mm-hmm. And also connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to help people that are interested in learning more about capital raising. You know, it's something that I like to do, is provide some education and information to others on things that have worked for me.
Awesome. And Andrew, same question for you.
Yeah, you can I'll give you my email address, so you can connect with me through email. It's andrew@andrewlongsells.com. Mm-hmm. So you send me a direct email or find me on LinkedIn. Our social media, send me a friend request, and love to connect, set up a time to learn more about what you're doing, and just network. So
awesome. And we'll have all of those links in the show notes for anybody who's interested. And guys, thanks so much for coming on the show today. It was an absolute pleasure.
That was great.
Thanks, Brian. Had a great time.
Thanks for listening to the Diary of an Apartment Investor podcast by the Tribe of Titans. If you're still listening, you obviously liked it, so go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and review if you haven't already, and then make sure to check out our YouTube channel, which incidentally has a ton of video content that you'll also enjoy and learn from. Now, if you're interested in being on the show, go to our website, diaryofanapartmentinvestor.com, and fill out the questionnaire on the website. And for more educational content and for more information about our educational community, check us out at thetribeoftitans.info.